You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 12th of April 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. I thought we'd do something different today. I was looking over the solutions podcasts that we have at radioalbion.com, and we don't seem to have produced any since 2021, I think. And that's mainly because we do talk about these solutions all the time when we're talking about news reports. And the solutions that we formulated back in 2020 and 2021 really haven't changed since then. And you can find out all the details of them by looking at the Patriotic Alternative website, patrioticalternative.org.uk. Go to the About section and look for the 20-point plan. That is there. And it's mainly dealing with problems that have been caused by the government's immigration policy. And an accusation that people make against nationalists all the time is, well, if you were to get into power, what would happen to all the non-white people? You'd be forcing them out of the country. And that's just not true. What you could do is you could offer generous rewards for people to go back to their ancestral homelands with enough money so that they could set up a business there, for instance. I mean, people are always going to be best off when they're living amongst their own people. And if you were to explain this to people, they say, well, yes, of course, that's just common sense, isn't it? People that speak the same language as you, have the same body language, have the same history, like the same things, have the same religion. People that are, say, for instance, Muslims are always going to be better off within a Muslim community, aren't they? If they're living side by side with a Christian community, you're going to have Muslims that don't want to see representations of Muhammad, don't want to see images at all, in actual fact. And then you'd have the Christian community, which like to have representations of crucifixes and images. So straight away you have a conflict there in the way that people want to run their communities. And the main reason I think why people want to come to Britain is because they think that they're going to be able to earn more money here, they're going to be able to have a healthier benefit system, the National Health Service, all these sorts of things. So you would have to offer quite a substantial incentive, I think, for people to go back to their ancestral homelands. But when you think a lot of these third world countries, they have a fairly low standard of living, fairly low annual salary that people get there. So whatever you were to be offering here in Britain would obviously be worth a lot more in those countries there. And then of course you get people that say, well what about somebody who's employed as a judge who is non-white? What about somebody who is employed as a detective, for instance, or a lawyer who is non-white? Well, they would probably want to stay, wouldn't they? And they're not really the sort of people that are causing the problems that we get in these multicultural cities, and they're not likely to be involved in gangs, for instance, are they? So they're not really the ones that are causing a problem, and nobody's going to be forcing people to leave. This would be voluntary re-migration. It's a voluntary policy that is being talked about here. So I should imagine that they would probably prefer to stay. And of course, that's not a problem. I mean, we're not talking about we have to have the whole country 100% Indigenous British. The countries have all, particularly capital cities, have always had different people living there. but never to the extent that we have it today, where you have, for instance, you have the capital city, London, and it's, I think it's 60% non-British now, something like that. That has never happened before, I don't think, in history, or where it has happened, it has then led to the collapse of the civilization. If you think of places like Babylon, you think of the Roman civilization, Egyptian civilization, and what once they had become fully multicultural and lots of different peoples living there, that is shortly before the civilization falls. So you would imagine that in a capital city, you would have people from different countries that were there, traders, businessmen, that sort of thing. So that really wouldn't be a problem. And you really want to just make sure that the indigenous British people remain a super majority. And then people will say, well, what about this issue of mixed race relationships and mixed race children and all that sort of thing? And I think if you were to teach people about these things and you were to say that the negative sides of them, I think people would try to avoid those sorts of relationships. I mean, if you said to people, well, if you have a mixed race child, they're not going to look like any of their ancestors. They may be rejected from either community. I mean, a lot of the time, if you have like the non-white community, they will reject the child because the child, they don't see them as being a part of their community. And then the child will be welcomed into the white community and they're always going to feel slightly different. And when you look at things such as the amount of beauty products there are for non-white people that involve things such as the lightening of the skin, which is a massive multi-billion dollar industry, and you think somebody who is the product of a mixed race relationship and they're having to spend money on these skin whitening products, and then they're looking at their white parent and thinking, well, if you had only married somebody that looks like you, I wouldn't be having to pay out all this money on these skin whitening products. And of course, if you're a mixed race child, obviously you're going to love your parents. But there's also going to be this resentment of the fact that you could have been born looking exactly like your mother or exactly like your father. And you could be looking back at the old pictures of your ancestors and you could see yourself in your ancestors. And all of those things are going to make life difficult for somebody who is of mixed race. And we also hear that people that are mixed race, they suffer more with depression, self-harm, all this sort of thing, and they feel like they don't belong. They've effectively had their heritage taken away from them. And I don't think people that go into these mixed race relationships, they really just don't think about these things. They just think, oh, love is love, and we're all the same. And we all started out as the same people originally, so what does it matter? And they really don't think about these things. And I think if we were to teach people about that, and if we were to say things such as, well, from the biological side of it, if you're mixed race, it's going to be very difficult for you to find an organ transplant if you need them, particularly bone marrow. I mean, if you need a bone marrow transplant and you're mixed race, you're just never going to find anybody who is close enough to you to get a bone marrow transplant from. I don't think you can even get it from either parent. And when you're talking about organ transplants, like kidney transplant, what have you, it's going to be very difficult to find a kidney that your body is not going to reject, because you need to find somebody of the same ethnicity who is very close physically to you in order to have an organ transplant that your body's not going to reject. So there are all these drawbacks to being born mixed race. And I think if you present it in the way that you're really thinking about these children and thinking about the effect it is going to have on the children more than anything else, I mean, that can't really be seen as hateful, I don't think. And you would imagine that people would be thinking about this. And at least then they would be thinking about this. It would be a topic that is being discussed. And I think you would probably end up with less of these mixed race relationships happening. Now, when I can remember being a youth, and we had an Indian girl at our school, and she kept with the Indian girls and the Indian community, and the idea of sort of mixing out or dating somebody white was completely alien to them. And I think that's probably the same in most of these communities, is that they try to stay with their own people. And I think the reason why we had this increase in mixed race relationships, a lot of it is down to the advertising and the promotion of this on the television. And of course they say, well, we're not deliberately doing this, we're just trying to include everybody, and because we have a 15% of the country that are non-white now, we need to put somebody non-white into an advertisement, and the easiest way to do that is to put them in there as the spouse. And that's basically the way that these TV companies would explain what they're doing. But of course the effect of that is to promote the idea that being in a mixed race relationship is ideal, it is preferable, that is going on all around us, and that's the sort of thing that it promotes. So if you were to have a media that instead was promoting the well-being of the different ethnic groups, because I mean it's the same for somebody non-white, as I say, often the non-white community rejects the child because one of the parents is white. So if you instead were to promote the idea that single race relationships were the average, and that is what you are more likely to see on the television, I think that would encourage less of them as well. And as I say, that would be of benefit to any children that would be born from that, because you could get the numbers of the children down. And I say that's not something that just benefits white people. It's something that benefits all groups, because if you have this interbreeding between groups, you end up losing the individuality of the group in the first place. And if you have a white group and a black group, you have two different groups there. And if they start interbreeding together, you no longer have a white group and you no longer have a black group. You just have a non-white group without any history and without any ancestors that look like them, without an identity, essentially, just an identity that's given to them today as a consumer. So I think all of these things can be talked about, and they can be talked about and phrased in positive ways that are conducive to everybody's well-being. And then with the people that you had left here, as I say, you would get the numbers down, because a lot of people would take voluntary repatriation. They would want to go back to where their ancestral homeland is, where there is a lot more people that are just like them, that speak the same language, with a climate that is much more suited to them. And if they had a generous financial package, they could set themselves up with a business. As patriotic alternatives say, if the family wished to go back with them, then they would get even more money. So you could have your right to your family there, and your family could go back there as well. And then the ones that are left in Britain, I think they can be encouraged to live together with their own group. I mean, you're going to be best off with your own group. And what we used to have before, we used to have places like Chinatown, which is where all the Chinese people used to live. You could have something like that. You could have Chinatown. You could have Islamic town. You could have Somali town. You could just have certain areas in the multicultural cities where particular groups lived. And then they could follow their customs. And you could say, well, what we'd like to do is we'd like to have that area policed by people that look like the people that are there. And you could have white police policing white areas. And you could have black police policing black areas. And then you wouldn't get so many accusations of racism or discrimination. And if all of these areas were to receive the same financial help from the government, it couldn't be said that one of these areas was particularly being discriminated against. And what you could do is you could have the rural areas, which are already today, they're still sort of 99.9% white. You could say, well, these rural areas, we'll designate them as safe spaces for Europeans, people of European heritage. And you could say the same for, like, say, the black areas. You could say, well, this is a designated safe space for black people, and we're not going to encourage white people to move there. Anybody that is white that lives there we could offer like a financial incentive for them to move out and move to a part of the country which is a safe space for white people, and vice versa. And that way you could have different communities living alongside one another where there was less of a risk of discrimination going on. Nobody would have a fear that racism entered into it if, say, they were black and it was a black police officer and somebody was resisting arrest, a black person was resisting arrest. They wouldn't be able to say, well, it was racism that got this person to end up harmed in some way, because it would all be black police. So that would eliminate these accusations of racism. And then you get this, well, people want to see themselves reflected on the television. People want to see themselves as the teachers, because otherwise they don't feel a sense of familiarity. I mean, we're told this all the time by these black advocacy groups that they want to see more black businessmen, more black teachers, more black people in all of these positions, because it then encourages them to see themselves doing well and being in those positions, and they feel more comfortable around the people that are of the same ethnic group as themselves. And this cuts both ways. It's the same for white people. White people are always going to feel more comfortable and less self-conscious around other whites. And it's the same with Chinese. It's the same with all of these groups. You're always going to feel better off when you're amongst people from your own extended family. And if this was talked about, this was explained, I think there would be far less conflict that we have within the country today, but between groups, because people would just say, well, yes, that's so obvious, isn't it? Of course we feel better off amongst our own group. And of course it's not racist to feel better off amongst your own group. It's just natural. But that is the way that is now often called racism. If it's white people that want to be living amongst whites, they get accused of being racist for suggesting that. And when you say, well, surely it would be better for people to be living amongst their own people, they say, oh, well, you're just calling for segregation there. But that's what Black Lives Matter are calling for when they say they want to see more black police, more black teachers. They want to see themselves represented. They are effectively saying that they want to be amongst their own people, which when white people say that, we're told, well, that's segregation. That's wrong. But surely it's not wrong to just want to be around your own people and your own extended family. And surely that is going to be the way that is most conducive to having a contented life and getting involved in the community. There was a big study that was done probably about 15 years ago, The Downside of Diversity, it was called. It was a huge UN study that took place in America. I think it was the largest study of its type when it was carried out. And they found that when you had multicultural areas, the sense of civic involvement and wanting to get involved in the community and do things for the community, it was just lacking. And that's the reason why it's lacking, because you no longer feel connected to being a part of your community, because instead of it all being people that are from your own extended family, it's from all these different families that have different languages and different ways of doing things. And of course, some people like that. Some people really like that. They like having different people around and hearing different languages, and there's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, we all like variety. They say that is the spice of life. So you could still have these multicultural areas. You could still have the cities that had the multiculturalism, that had the different peoples, only they would be living in these different areas of only their own groups. And if you wanted to go and move there, then you could have like a multicultural bit there as well. So I think everybody then would be served in some way or other, and people that wanted to just live amongst their own people could, and the people that wanted to experience multiculturalism and live alongside a diverse range of different communities, then they could do the same. Because then you come to the NHS, and the issue that we have with the NHS is we have a lot of people, a lot of health tourism, they call it, when people come to the country just because they want to get treated on the NHS. And again, you could say, well, if that happened, you could bill the country that these people came from, and that country would then have to take them back at the end of the treatment. And then you've got the problem with illegal immigration and what we should be doing with illegal immigration. I mean, we've said this at Radio Albion for years now, and now the Conservative Party are finally starting to talk about doing something similar. All you would have to do is arrange with a third party country, probably somewhere in Africa, to buy a certain part of the land there and to manage it and keep it and keep it within British law. And what you could do is, if anybody came to Britain and they said, well, we're fleeing war, it's dangerous in our home country, then we could say, well, we will put you in a refugee camp in a third party country. It will be managed by Britain, so it would be under the British law. So if you were fleeing repressive laws on homosexuality or something like that, that would be under British law in this place, so you would no longer be persecuted for your sexuality. And the country that this camp was within could be paid a generous settlement, which would obviously help that country to improve its situation. And if it was somewhere in Africa, you could say, well, it's the majority of the people, I think, that are coming into Britain come from Africa. So you could say, well, culturally, this country is very similar to the country that you come from. It's a very similar ethnicity. It's people that are similar to you, that are used to eating similar foods and what have you. And surely, again, that would be more conducive to somebody that was genuinely fleeing war than to be in Britain, miles away from people that are similar to themselves. And then you get the people that are just coming to Britain illegally because they think they're going to be able to make more money here. And if they knew that if they did arrive here, they were just going to get put in a refugee camp in Rwanda, then they would think different about doing so. And we know this works because that's what they did in Australia. They set up camps in Papua New Guinea, and anybody that tries to break into the country and says that they're fleeing war over the other side of the world, Australia says, well, okay, if you're fleeing war, we will protect you from that war. But it's just that we won't be doing it in Australia. We'll be doing it in Papua New Guinea. And that's exactly the same that we could say here in Britain. We could say, well, we will protect you from war, but it won't be here in Britain. It will be in this safe third party country. So that would solve the illegal immigration problem. A patriotic alternative, another way that they think they could would help to get people to be encouraged to go back to their ancestral homeland, is to just insist on having everything written down in English or in Wales, in Welsh, which is what they already do, Scotland in Gaelic, and not to pay for interpreters. And if somebody needs an interpreter, then they would be billed for that. So you would pretty much ensure that everybody that was here in Britain, that they spoke English and that they learned English from an early age. And people that didn't want to learn English, people that just wanted to speak Punjabi or Swahili or one of these other languages, they would realize that it was difficult for them because everything in England was spoken in English. And they would look to where their native language was spoken and think, well, life would be better there, wouldn't it? Because I'd be able to understand things better. And if I was to go there, I'd have this general financial package that I could take with me. So that would encourage people as well. Because we do have this problem with these communities now within the country that don't even speak English, that are completely insulated from the rest of the country. And that is not a good thing. And if they want to speak their own language like that and not associate themselves with people that speak English or Europeans, then clearly they would be better off amongst their own group and just their own group, where they could follow their own culture and their own way of doing things without being concerned about European culture, which is so different. And that, again, I think that would solve a lot of these conflicts. You can find all this information at, as I say, at the Patriotic Alternative website. But it's all things that we've talked about here at Radio Albion for years. We've identified these sort of problems that are occurring. And when you look into these things, at first it's tempting to blame these other groups. But then you realise that all of these other groups, they are different to us. And you can't judge their behaviour because you're not a part of that group. And the source of the problem is really within ourselves. It's within our own government for promoting multiculturalism and for opening up the borders and allowing in people that are very different to ourselves. And that is the root of the problem. You're not going to change these people. And why would you want to change these people? Especially not if they're doing well for themselves. I mean, the only measure that you can really use for a group as to whether it is doing the right thing or not, and that I mean a people group, is whether it is thriving or not. Is that people group thriving? Are they reproducing at a rate that will replace themselves, or are they not? Have they improved their life expectancy? Have they improved their influence and power? And if you look at all these other groups, then they have. So if you measure, say, for instance, if you measure Jews by that measure, then Jews are certainly doing the right thing, aren't they? Because they're thriving, they're increasing in number, they're increasing their power and influence. So quite clearly that what they are doing is not wrong, is it? I mean, you can even look at other countries, and you can look at Africa. You can say, well, is Africa doing well for itself? Is it reproducing enough to replace itself? And it certainly is. So Africa isn't doing anything wrong. And then you look at white people and you say, well, are white people reproducing enough to replace ourselves? No, we're not. And the reason for that is because we have imposed conditions upon ourselves that make it so that we don't want to reproduce. And that's the sad thing. So the people that are at fault is obviously white people. We're the ones that have created this situation for ourselves, which is not conducive to us reproducing. We're the ones that have created multiculturalism and all the problems that that brings. And a large part of the problems that it brings is crime, because there are more potential victims, because it will always be easier to, if you're a criminal, it will always be easier to carry out a crime upon somebody who is not a part of your extended family. And if you were to, again, you were to have these separate safe spaces for the communities, that wouldn't happen. Criminals would only have their own group in which to carry out a crime upon. And also, when you have separate communities made up of the same people group, you'll find that they are best placed to deal with the sort of problems that occur within that group. And that should just be so obvious. And this is what we hear black people saying. We hear black people saying, well, the system of law that white people have, it doesn't work for us, because we end up being disproportionately penalized by it. Five times as many of us as our percentage of the population end up being incarcerated for crimes. So clearly this Western system, this white system, does not work properly for black people. And if black people are left on their own, I think they would develop a different system. They would have a different way of dealing with crimes. Instead of waiting for a long time for there to be a court case, I think they would deal with things straight away. And they would have a system that was in place that allowed for that. And I think that's what we would see. And that would probably benefit black people a lot more. But we're not going to see that when we have multiculturalism. It doesn't work for white people, and it doesn't work for black people either. It's no good for anyone. And we need to be talking about this, and we need to be encouraging people to be wanting to live amongst their own people. I mean, there are so many things that I think we can find in common with a lot of these other advocacy groups, Jewish groups, black groups, and we should be looking for the areas where our interests coincide. I mean, even with Muslims, we've had Muslims that have come along to the Stop Drag Queen Story Hour protests that we've done with Patriotic Alternative. And I think with so many of these things that these other groups are actually calling for, we can amplify that aspect of the message. And then we find that we're all supporting the same thing. I mean, I think what everybody just wants to be safe, and they want to be content. And the way to be safe and content is to just be around your own people group. It's so simple. And we have to break down this idea that it's racist to want to be within your own people group. And I think one of the ways we can do that is by highlighting how black people want to be among their own people group. That's what they mean when they say, we want to have black teachers in the schools. We want to have black judges. We want to have black police. We want to see ourselves represented on the television. We want to see black actors. They are just saying that they feel most contented and happy when they are around their own people. And it's exactly the same for white people. So here are some of these solutions that we've developed over time for dealing with these sort of problems. And as I say, I think the root of all these problems is multiculturalism. And the source of multiculturalism is ourselves. So it's ourselves that we need to work on, really. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.